Welcome to another time of abundant entrance into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, by the new and living way, consecrated for us into the life within the veil. Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith as we hear the word of righteousness with God's servant, Pastor Emeka Eguchukwu.
Praise the name of the Lord. We give thanks to the Lord this morning. The Lord is good and His mercies endure forever. I want to welcome everybody to Epistle Life broadcast today. I want to thank God for His goodness to us again and again and again. For the riches of the glory of His inheritance that we have in the Son Jesus, which is what the Spirit of Wisdom and Revelation is helping us to delve into and unravel so that we will participate effectively, like Paul told Philemon, that the participation or your fellowship in the faith might become effectual by acknowledging every good thing that is in you in Christ Jesus. The good thing that is in us is what Christ has wrought. And that is what brings us into fellowship. Fellowship with one another and fellowship also with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ through the Spirit. Hallelujah. All right, this morning we'll begin again. Let's pray. Father, we trust you for great mercy. Every good and perfect gift comes from you, from the Father of light, in whom there is no variableness, neither the shadow of turning. Thank you because you have good light and you have perfect light that you desire to give to us. We open up our hearts to receive from you all that you will say to us, even this day. We ask that understanding be given to everybody, wherever we are, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Again, want to welcome you, everybody, wherever you are, in your home, in your office, in school, home, and abroad, wherever you are, you are welcome in the name of Jesus. All right, quickly to the book of Philippians, where we have been, you know, looking at, by God's grace, last time we looked at verse 5 precisely, verse 5, 6, and 7. It said, let your moderation be known to all men. And we looked at that word moderation, what it is. That moderation actually is talking about your gentleness. And gentleness is gentleness of the Spirit. Let your moderation be known to all men. And I tried explaining it, making us understand that when the virtues of Christ, you know, when we possess the virtues of Christ, or when we exude, we show forth the virtues of Christ, the Lord becomes nearer. Or the Lord is nearer. There is no way people will know the Lord without seeing Him through us. He has to be seen. We have to show forth a life that can adorn the gospel of God. There is a life that can adorn the gospel of God. That life that can adorn the gospel of God is actually the fruit of life that Jesus, that is in the life of Jesus, meaning the fruit of the life of Christ, which we have learned when we put, like Ephesians, Colossians will say, put on Christ Jesus. Now, that putting it on also means that we live out that life, and as we live it out, we adorn the gospel of God. The gospel of God can be adorned. You know, adorning meaning putting, you know, beauty, ornaments around the gospel of God. And what is meant to adorn the gospel of God, our Savior, is actually the life virtue or the virtues of the life of Christ, which we have possessed. We talked extensively along that line, and so I'm not going to stay there. I want us to move forward today. Verse 8. Amen. Verse 8. Amen. We also talked about, let me not overlook it, we also talked about verse 6 and verse 7 that said, be careful for nothing, but in everything with prayer and supplication, and with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God that passeth understanding shall keep your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. Very, very important that we understand and let that register in our hearts all the time, that He cares for us. Peter said, casting all your cares upon Him, for He cared much for you. And we try to look at it again to understand that God cares for us much more than we can imagine. And He wants us to not carry our cares, our burdens, but to cast it upon Him because He cares for us. Hallelujah. Like I said, I just want to get into verse 8 right now. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on those things which ye have heard, both learnt and received. And those things, verse 9, those things which ye have both learnt and received and heard and seen in me, do, the God of peace shall be with you. Amen. Praise God. Let me just take, you know, teaching it bit by bit. We will soon finish up the book of Philippians, and we'll get to the next. I like verse 8 and verse 9, the instructions that Paul began to give there. Now, when you look at verse 8, the instructions he was given to the church in Philippi happens to be instructions that he himself also lives by. Because after that, verse 8, verse 9, now said, those things, whatsoever things. He mentioned the whatsoever things. And then he now said, those things. Meaning it's still the same thing. It's still the same thing. Why did I say it's still the same thing? It's still the things of Christ. The things that are true, the things that are honest, the things that are just, the things that are pure, the things that are lovely, the things that are of good report, the things that are of virtue, praise, they are the things of Christ. They are the things of Christ. They are the things that one will not be able to really, when he said think on these things, what he was saying is meditate on them. Meditate on them. Now, Paul also instructed Timothy on things to meditate on. There are things to meditate on. Meditate on them. Now, you don't meditate. That word meditate is not read. That word meditate is not even recitation. That word meditate is deeper. Is is from, you know, that word meditation is the same word that you use for rumination. The same meaning with rumination. Rumination, we have animals that do ruminate. They have stomach regions in their belly, and what they do is that when they eat, and you know, it is those kind of animals that God calls, as in the Old Testament, clean. Clean animals. Those are the one, majorly the ones that you find being used for sacrifice. They are clean. Now, animals that don't cogitate, that don't ruminate, they are unclean. They are unclean. One of the common characteristics of the animals that are clean is one, they ruminate. And what does he mean? It means sometimes you find, if you've been around some of them, maybe they've eaten throughout the day, in the evening, and there's nothing there they are eating, I mean, that is there for them to chew. But you find them chewing. They can chew like that and chew like that till morning. And not only chew, they can be sleeping and be chewing. They wake up, they are still chewing. It's a part of them. So Paul began to tell the church in Philippi to be like this ruminating animal. Now, Joshua, the Lord also told that to Joshua. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. Thou shalt meditate therein. So that word meditate. Now for it to, I like that, this book of the law should not depart out of thy mouth. Meaning, you should be chewing it. Meaning, you should be chewing it. After you've eaten it and it has entered into your stomach, you can bring it forth again and chew it. And chew it. It's when it has entered you that you can chew it. If it has not, if you've not eaten it, it can depart from your mouth. What will not depart from your mouth is what is already inside of you that you can bring out and chew again. But thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to. So, you see, for you to be able to do, many want to do, but they have not really meditated. Many want to do, but they've not put their heart and their mind in what they have heard. Many want to do, but they've not even listened to the message more than once. Many want to do, but they've not engaged on the exercise that is required for them to be able to do. He said, thou shalt meditate therein day and night. Now, there's a reason for meditating therein day and night. Meditating therein day and night means chewing it day and night. So in the night, just like that animal I told you about, even when he's sleeping, he's still chewing. Thou shalt chew it day and night, that thou mayest observe to do all that is written therein. Now, I love that. All that is written therein. Now, you need to break it down to the point of all that is written therein. Now, if you don't chew it well, you will not do, you may not observe to do according to all that is written therein. What they are demanding is all that is written therein. You may do half of what is written therein. You've not done all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous. Meaning, it is what you have eaten, what you've ingested, what you've meditated on by chewing, that eventually becomes your way. When you hear, then thou shalt make thy way. We make way by meditating. Ways are made by meditating. Ways, I'm talking about, are ways inward. Inward ways. From where the issues of life will flow. When you hear the Bible say, make make straight the path for the Lord. To make straight the path for the Lord is an issue of the heart. So to make way, this is a very, very, very technical and very important that we understand this. To make way, when they say my way, because there I said, then thou shalt make thy way. Now it didn't say ways, way. Thou shalt make thy way. Your own way. What you ate has way. You know, he said, my ways are not your ways. My thoughts are not your thoughts. You can see it's thoughts and ways that go together. What brings out ways are thoughts. So what I meditate upon eventually will become my way. So if I've not meditated upon it, then I don't have a way. I can hear revelation. I can hear God's word. And it might not yet become a way. It may not yet become a way in me. For it to become a way in me, I need to meditate on it. And meditate on it day and night. Meditate on it long enough until it becomes a way. And when it becomes a way, then it is always a prosperous way. It is always a prosperous way. Meaning, without the way, I will not prosper in what I am hearing. We can't say to have prospered in what we are hearing until what we are hearing has become a way. It is when it has become a way that we can say that we have prospered or we are prospering, and then thou shalt have good success. Good success simply means that you come. I know when you hear God's word, one of the things that is paramount in our heart when we hear the word is that we want to not just hear, but become. I think that's the desire of everybody that is hearing truth. You don't just want to hear, you want to also become. Now that becoming or coming into fellowship is what we will call good success. Good success. Now good success, because you've used good light, then you'll have good success. You've used good light, and good light will bring forth good success. Amen. And perfect light will bring forth also perfect success. So, but all the medium or the mechanism by which this is achieved is that what we have heard, which is the thought of God, and we receive it as thought, eventually becomes a way when we meditate on them. Amen. So in other words, God has given us capacity to be a way maker through his word. No wonder David said, your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. So David uses it. Another place in Psalm 1, he said, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor in the way of sinners, nor in the sitteth in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law doth he meditate day and night. Just like that place in the book of Joshua. He meditates day and night. In his law does he meditate day and night. Then he now began to describe it in verse 3. It's like, but he said he shall be like that. That's success here. That's what he mean by success here. This is success. This is good success. He shall be like a tree planted by the river of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. That's a successful tree. His leaves also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Are you seeing it? You make your way prosperous. So this is good success. This is good prosperity as a result of meditating on the word of God. His delight is in the law of the Lord. Upon his word shall he meditate day and night. He is like a tree that is planted. It shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Now that whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Please don't misunderstand me. He's not talking about everything you do. What you prosper, what they are calling prosper here, you prosper in whatsoever. That was the same thing, the same word, whatsoever. You remember in Philippians, where we are reading verse 8, whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Whatsoever thing. So it means that you will prosper in these things. Amen. God wants us to prosper. Now, somebody say, are you saying, okay, it does not include prosperity, all-round prosperity, because I know people want all-round prosperity. Yes, there is all-round prosperity, and definitely there's no way you will engage God's word and you will not come into all-round prosperity. But much more you prosper in life, because that is what we are talking about. Prosperity in life. Prosperity in the life, in life, is ability to move from being a grass to being a stone. Ability to move from being flesh to become Christ. And being moved from Christ to become the Son of the living God. That is prosperity in life. That is whatsoever you do shall prosper. That is what is expected. That's the prosperity we are talking about. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Now, I want to just say a few things concerning this as I look at it. We'll look at it bit by bit. Finally, brethren, what things soever is true. Now, I want to say this. One of the things that I need you to understand is when he said meditate on them or think on these things, you need to think on them. It very well brings us to the realm of thoughts. In other words, Paul was giving us what to think. What to think, or what you call food for thought. What to occupy our mind with, our mind and our heart. Now, thoughts begin with the mind before it enters the heart. When it enters the heart, you hear the imagination of their heart. But before it becomes imagination of the heart, it must have become a thought first. So thoughts, I want you to listen carefully, thoughts begin with the mind or starts with the mind. Thought in itself is there's a realm of thoughts. Is a vast world, a vast universe. I want to say is a realm that is larger, more vast than the heaven over us. I'm talking about the sky over us. The realm of thoughts. And things go on there constantly. Things move on in that realm. As a matter of fact, I want to put it this way. One of the faculties that God gave to man, that made man, made man a living soul, capacity of a living soul, is the fact that you can take thoughts. Meaning you can participate. That is different from animals. Animals are more they respond more to instinct. You can say they are more instinctual. They respond more to instinct. Or what you say, they respond to their environment. But man goes beyond just his environment. He's able to fetch, think, read things, look for meaning in things that are hidden, things that are not clearly seen. It's just, that's just not environment this time, but a higher environment. Now, I want to say, when I call it a higher environment, because it's also an environment, because it's a realm, but it's higher. It's called the realm of thoughts. Now, that makes man, that's one of the attributes of a living soul, that the soul can take thoughts. The soul can fetch thoughts. I also want to say that the realm of thoughts are at various, you know, levels. It's like, just like you when you're going up, you meet different layers of the atmosphere. You meet the atmosphere, stratosphere, and all of that. You begin to go up, you meet them, layers. That is also how realm of thought is. Amen. That's also how realms of thought is. Now, these realms of thought are not void. As you look at the sky and they look void, they are not void. Spirits occupy there. Spirits, fallen spirits, occupy there. Now, when you read in the book of Ephesians, Ephesians chapter 2, say, you who were dead in sin, and you had the quickened, who were dead in sin and trespasses, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air. Now that air is that realm that I'm talking about. According to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now walketh in the children of disobedience. So you see where he is, it's called the prince of the power of the air. And that's why I told you, I said that place is not void. It's occupied by fallen spirits. Now I want you to also understand that those realms, this air, you see, we are previously not meant for them. They were not meant for these princes, these fallen spirits that occupy them. They were actually the realm of a living soul. It was actually the living soul that should occupy them. In fact, when you hear the word living soul, don't just, you know, the way we sing it, every living soul, praise the Lord. Many souls, many believers whose spirits are regenerated have not yet in their soul come to the realm of living soul. In their soul. A living soul realm is high. Living soul realm is a prince. Every living soul is a prince. A living soul is a prince of the air. That's Adam. A living soul is a prince of the air. I want you to understand that. Every living soul is a prince of the air. So, let me repeat it again. I said every child of God that is born, many of us children of God that are born again. Born again now means we have a regenerated spirit. Our soul have not yet come to the realm of a living soul. It takes growth spiritually to come to the realm where you are called living soul. Now, man lost it earlier. Now, in Adam, in the book of Genesis, one of the things I discovered that God was doing with all of them was that God, with the lineage of Seth, was that he was growing them. There was a pattern of growth he had for them. A pattern of growth. That pattern of growth was to make them occupy the air. To make them occupy the air. Now, when you hear the word, my spirit shall no longer strive with man. Now, it means that the spirit of God was striving. Now, what strive is not as if they are quarreling. Now, it was raised. My spirit shall no longer, I want to use that word strive, change it to, my spirit will no longer walk on man to, because there it was the soul they were talking about, will not walk on man to raise him again. Now, the Lord said, my spirit shall not always, meaning that before it has been always, always. With Adam, it was always. With Abel, it was always. With Cain, it was also always. But Cain began to give heed to something else. With Seth, it was always. With Enos, it was always. With Methuselah, Jael, it was always. With Noah, it was always. Now, meaning that the Spirit of God supervised their growth to make a living soul. The Spirit of the Lord. The Lord said, so it's the Spirit of the Lord that supervised their growth. Their growth, what we center growth on right now is the body. But when the Holy Ghost raises, it's not about the body, it's about the soul. Now, you can see that with John the Baptist, how he was raised. John the Baptist was a child of the Holy Ghost. John the Baptist was raised by the Holy Ghost. What was he eating? Locusts and wild honey. That was what he was eating. And so you can see, what kind of diet is that? Is that what somebody is going to be eating and somebody will grow? I need to drink milk. I need to eat this. I need to eat that. No, the Holy Ghost was growing the soul. He knew how to grow the soul to become a living soul, to become Adam, to become Adam. So when he said, my spirit shall not always strive with man. That man was the soul. My spirit shall not always strive with the soul. So there's a way the Spirit of God comes to. You know the way the wind strives upon the water. And the water will beat this way and beat that way. Responding to the... When you see wave is actually water responding to the dictates of the wind. The wind and the wave, they are pals. The wind bloweth where it listeth. You don't know where it's coming from. You don't know where it's going to. But you can see the effect. But when you see the wind upon water, you can see the direction of the wind. You can see the effect of the wind when the wind is upon water. Now, the soul is also like the water. It's also like the water. It's also the soul is fluid in nature. It can also become solid in nature. It's also fluid. Now, the soul that becomes fluid is a soul that has received instructions from the Lord. So the Spirit of the Lord strives upon such a soul, bringing instructions, bringing life, downloading things, and that soul is responding until the soul becomes what God intends it to be. Have you ever read that place? Amen. I don't want to go into it deeply because I'm teaching Philippians. He said the first man was made a living soul. The second man, 1 Corinthians 15, 4 to 5. And so it was written, the first man, Adam, was made. Did you hear that word made? Was made a living soul. The last Adam was made. Now, let's look at it. If the last Adam was made, that word was made gives me an idea of a process. Was made. Meaning there was a way they raised Jesus also. He didn't just become quickening spirit. God has manual for raising. Oh, you don't understand me. God has manual for raising all kinds of. If I say this, you will not believe me. He can raise four living creature out of your soul. He has a manual. He can make a beast out of a man. You know, those four living creatures are called beasts. He can make a beast out of a man. Not evil beast. I'm talking about good beast. God can make a good beast out of a man. He has the manual. He can make a living soul out of a man. He has the manual. He can make a quickening spirit out of a man. He has the manual. He has the manual. He's in the hands of the Holy Ghost. He can make any of these things out of the soul. That's why the soul is important to God. Because the soul for God is a house to work on. It's like a raw material to work on. So when you are talking about Adam, the first Adam, they were talking about he was made. In his soul, God made him. The process went out that made him a living soul. The last man was also made. And how is this making? That's what we understand in that Genesis. My spirit shall not always strive with man. So what is God coming to strive with man? Are they quarreling? No, he's not quarreling. He's coming to give instructions with the man while he has what he wants to raise. So you can see most of them, you know, the lineage of Seth, you hear they lived before they ever begat. They live before they begat. They live. Now, who was making them not begat? It was the Spirit that was raising them, that was preventing them from begatting. Why the lineage of Cain? It never was like that. The Spirit was not striving with them. So, they've been released. You know, like what Romans would say, given over. So, you know, God has released them because they did not want to retain in them the knowledge of God, even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge. That is it. That's where the thing begins. Now, you're supposed to retain God in your knowledge for you to be raised for God. Now, they refused to retain God in their knowledge. God gave them over to a reprobate mind. To do things which are not convenient. So you say, immediately God gave Cain over, Cain began to do things, build cities, start up agriculture. His children began to churn out weapons. You know, technology was majorly Cainish. The technology that we are looking at today, man is trying to make life better, is all Cainish. The Bible said in the book of, I think it's Proverbs, it said God created man upright. God created man upright. But their quest, their desire for, their finding out of inventions have corrupted them. So you can see, like I said, Cain, that's Ecclesiastes 7:29, lo, this only have I found, that God had made man upright, but they have sought out many inventions. He made man upright. Meaning man was upright. He didn't need all those inventions. But they've sought out many inventions. So when you're looking at technology today, we're enjoying it because we have to. We are all here together. Amen. Praise God. But I want you to understand that the whole system you're seeing was not actually what God intended it to be. So you can see the pattern with the lineage of Seth. They lived. They were able to live because the Spirit of the Lord, the Spirit of the Lord, strove with them to raise them, to strive with them. I mean, you know, the way the wind strives upon the sea gives the sea direction, how it should move. So when the wind is blowing it like this, the sea will have to be going that way. So when you hear, the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man. So it means man is no longer yielding to him for to be raised to become a living soul. He's no longer yielding to be raised to become a living soul. We see it with Cain. Cain left and was not yielding at all, and he found many inventions. And can I say this? There is no middle ground, really. If the Spirit of the Lord does not strive on you, another spirit will take you over. It's as clear as that. There is no void. There is no void anywhere. There is no middle ground. It's either is the Spirit of the Lord or is another spirit. And the reason why they became flesh is also because a wrong spirit strove on them. And they became flesh instead of a living soul. So God had to cut down his years to 120. Is to help him so that he will not continue to yield to that spirit and become flesh irreparable, which is perdition. I don't know if you understand what I'm talking about. So you can see, one can be raised. One can be raised. It is written, the first man was made a living soul, the last man was made a quickening spirit. It was made a quickening spirit. Let's go further. Like I said, the realm of thoughts is very vast. And in that realm, presently, spirits, fallen spirits, occupy the realm, you know. Air. Is the air. There's a realm of thought. Things are there. And it's not one realm. They are, you know, they are segments. They are firmaments. Spiritual firmaments over man that these spirits occupy. And what they created the firmaments with thoughts. Now, what they do is that from there, they, you know, like the wind. The wind. Wind is spirit. Sending for thoughts. And men having a soul. That is what I was trying to make you see how important a soul is. Having a soul, man having a soul, have capacity to participate there. Now, also because that was originally the place for man. Man was thrown down from there. After the fall. That was originally the place where man ought to constantly occupy. Meaning that man, like I said, every living soul is a prince. When you come to become a living soul, you are a prince. You're a prince of the earth. But when you're a quickening spirit, you are more than a prince of the earth. You are even more than a prince of the heaven. You are a prince of the world to come. When you become a quickening spirit. But you have to be made. Amen. Can we go further? Talking about this remedy is good. I want to teach it. I want to bring it out very well so that you can understand what Paul was talking about here. So that realm, spirits occupy it, and spirits there, that is where they rule from. In other words, spirits actually rule men from the dimension of thoughts. You know, when you read that place, it said, come, let us reason together, saith the Lord. That's in Isaiah. Come, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Isaiah chapter 1. Come now, verse 18. Let us reason together, saith the Lord. Has it ever occurred to you when you read this? God is saying, come, let us reason together. Now, ordinarily, you will not break into God's realm of thoughts or thought realm without being invited. You have to be invited, because spirits don't want you to break into that realm. They have occupied realms above, because the thoughts of God is high, as the heaven is higher than the earth. So are my ways and my thoughts. Isaiah 55. For as the heavens are, I love that, heavens are higher than the earth. So God's thoughts are also in heavens. First heaven is also a realm of thoughts. Second heaven is a realm of, when I'm talking about first heaven, I'm not talking about the heaven that fallen spirits are occupying, the air. I'm talking about the heaven of the heavens. Heavens. The real heavens. Where you meet the first, that's the foremost first, which is the realm of the cherubims, where actually God is above them. That's the heaven. It's also a realm where high thoughts, most holy thoughts, because that realm is most holy realm. Most holy thoughts are kept there. And a man can fetch it. I perceive that there is a way they think. If you break into that realm, you will start thinking like a cherubim. If you're able to break into it and they school you, you'll be thinking like a cherubim. And you will, I'm telling you, when you start thinking like that, it will affect your body. Because whatever affects your soul will affect your body. That's why I call it heavens. Past the heavens. And there is also the realm of the seraphims. There is also a realm of thoughts. Spirits are very good with thoughts. I don't know what happened to man. I don't know what happened to man. Man fell. Indeed, man fell. Man does not even understand the realm of thought, how he is being manipulated, how he is being prevented, how he is not fully participating in the realm of thought, even though he has a soul. Every soul has a realm where he fellowships. But man's soul has been beaten down so much that he is in the dust. Like David said in Psalm 119, he said, my soul cleaveth to the dust, but quicken me according to your word. Quicken me according to your word. My soul cleaves to the dust. The soul is not supposed to cleave to the dust. The soul was supposed to be in the air. Living soul is a prince of the air. But the soul fell and became dust man. There is nothing good in dust. Dust is dust. Dust is a waste. So if your soul is dust or cleaves to the dust, means that your thought is dusty. Carnal. That's carnal. That's what I mean by carnal. It's dust to think of what to eat and what to drink and what to put on. What did I say? It is dust to think of what to eat, what to drink, what to put on. It is dust. And Jesus, when he came, being a master, he understands that. He understands what the soul should be participating in. He said, take no thought for your life, for what you shall eat, for what you shall drink, for what you will put on. For your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than meat? It's more than meat. It's more than meat. Body is more than raiment. So take no thought. So it is dust to take thought of what to eat, to take thought of what to drink, to take thought of what to put on. That is dust thought. But you know, that is the thought that this princess, fallen princess, has thrown man down to. That is our preoccupation. The thoughts of God. Now, you know, even in the world today, men who are renowned, what you call renowned men who are acclaimed, they are men who dwell in the realm of thoughts. You hear think tanks. You talk about philosophers. Those are men who dwell in the realm of thought. But even that thought they dwell in is still dust. It's just a higher part of dust. They don't think of what to eat. They are even so fed with thoughts that sometimes they are not even hungry. Because of men who do make inventions, some of them can be in their laboratory throughout the whole day. They've not eaten and they are not hungry. Why? Thoughts. Realm of thoughts energizes them. But those thoughts are still low thoughts. They are still dust. But generally, man, what to eat, what to drink, what to put on, I will not go into it so much, are the things that trouble man. They are dust. So our problem is dust. But like I said, they are, for as the heaven is, heavens. So I've talked about the first heaven, talked about the second heaven, realm of seraphims. Thoughts are there. It's a realm of thought, it's a realm of things. Thoughts are there. What do I mean by that? Now, you remember when Isaiah strayed into their realm? Isaiah knew how unholy he was. Holy prophet Isaiah. Holy prophet Isaiah strayed into the realm of the seraphims and then knew he was not holy. Now, what makes us, where holiness begins is in thoughts. By the time he arrived there and saw how things are, what the fellowship with, he knew, oh man, I can't be here. Who brought me here? How did I appear here? How did I stray into this place? This is not my realm of fellowship. This place is too holy. I'm unclean, unclean lips. Dwelling amidst unclean people. And my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. How did I come here? And they just took a coal. See, it was a symbol. You see, that coal they took was a thought. And where did they put it? In his tongue. Thought and tongue. Call it tongue from the altar and put it in his mouth. Thou shalt meditate therein day and night. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. So where they didn't put it on his head to make him holy, they put it on his mouth. So it means it's their thoughts also. They are also thoughts. And he became holy. And they told him, thy iniquity is taken away. You see how they punch him by thoughts. As verse 7, he said, and he laid it upon my mouth and said, lo, this hath touched thy lips. This coal has touched your lips. I love that coal was a life coal. It's not just an ordinary coal, it's a life coal. It's the thought of life of the seraphic. That's what they think. That's what they meditate on. But it is represented there as coal. And is life coal. A life coal in his mouth. No, it was a life coal in his mouth. And they said, lo, this has touched thy lips. Because this thing, this thought has touched thy lips. Thy iniquities is taken away. Thy sin is purged. You see how they purge things there? Thoughts. They just put it there and then it's purged. Amen. Thoughts are powerful. Thoughts can defile. Thoughts can also purify. Hallelujah. Praise God. So he now said in chapter 1 verse 18. Chapter 1 verse 18. God was saying, so that you can understand what I'm talking about. He said, come now, let us reason together. Come now, let us reason together. So you can now understand that coal was the reasoning of the seraphim. Their reasoning is life coal. Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as wool. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. How? By reasoning. Amen. By reasoning. Come, let us reason together. Come, let us come and take my thoughts. Come, let me give you my thoughts. By the time I give you my thoughts, you'll be clean. All you need is to think like me. So the way you think is the way is what has made you unclean. The wicked man is wicked because of his thoughts. And his thoughts, he fetches it from the realm of wickedness. The realm where wicked thoughts are. That's where he fetches his thoughts. And that's what makes him wicked. But if I reason with you, saith the Lord, though your sin be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool by my thoughts. Amen. So let's get back a little bit. And so I said the realm of thought is vast. Is a realm that is vast. Now, let's come back to man, actually, that we are dealing with. Praise God. I perceive this verse 8 is going to take me. I'm going to stay here for a while and just be able to bring out everything that God wants us to see there. Maybe not all in this particular broadcast, the next one, by God's grace. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, let's come back to man, like I said. Let's get back to man. Like I said earlier, thoughts. There are two. Our soul is a house of thoughts. We have these two faculties, the mind and the heart. Thoughts begin with the mind. Now, how do I mean? What you set your mind on, what you set your mind on, you will consider. So when Jesus said, take no thought, what he's saying is that don't set your mind on what to eat. Does it mean that you shouldn't walk? You should walk. But don't set your mind on it. Don't set your mind on what to drink. Don't set your mind on what to put on. Don't set your mind on it. Whatever you set your mind on, you will consider in your thoughts. You will take it as a thought. So Colossians chapter 3 began to tell us, if you then been risen with Christ, set your affection on things above. Things above. So we are admonished to set our affections on things above, not on things beneath. So there are things that are beneath, and there are things that are above. Then in Philippians chapter 3, verse 19, it talked about those men who mind earthly things. Are you seeing it? They mind earthly things. So you can actually, I want to say this. It is your what your mind does is your responsibility. What you set your mind on is purely your responsibility. You have, just like you can take your hand and put your hand on fire. Nobody did that for you. You put your hand on fire. You can equally take your hand off the fire. That's the same thing with your mind. You can use your mind and take thoughts that you're not supposed to take. You can remove your hand from that thought, your mind. So it starts from the realm of the mind. The mind, whatever you mind, you set your mind on, you will consider in your thoughts. That's actually where the warfare rages. When you hear the warfare of the mind, a lot of books have been written on that note, the warfare of the mind. Now, it is a warfare because of how much the mind has become used to dust. Our mind needs to be cleansed to be able to lift up. Our mind needs to be cleansed to be able to lift up. We need to be unhooked from the dust in our mind. We still think dust. Now, I perceive the thought of what to eat and what to drink, what to put on, is just a mere exercise. What you exercise yourself in, you get used to. Now, that exercise will keep you dusty. You need to understand that. That exercise of what to eat, what to drink, thinking about it, there's a way it keeps your mind low. You say somebody has a low mind, his mind is low. It's because he has not fetched high thoughts. Low, not lowly. I'm talking about low, as in falling. So there, warfare rages. A whole lot of warfare there in the realm of thoughts. Now, Daddy Hagin said, thoughts are like birds that fly. Praise God. Thoughts are like birds that fly. So you can see how large heaven is. And look at where you are, just one place. And then the heaven is vast over you. And then so thoughts are flying like birds. They can fly over your head. But you should not allow them perch on your head. And if they perch, don't pursue it away. Don't allow it make a habitation over your head. I'll give you an example. It's just like flies. Flies are a good example. Birds, I'm sure if bird is flying and maybe perches on you, you pursue it, it will go and will not come back. But thoughts can persist. So another flying creature that persists like thoughts are flies. You're holding something that attracts them. They can be flying around. You pursue them, they'll come again. You pursue them, they'll come again. You pursue them, they'll come again. You have to keep pursuing them. After a while, they will go. Is it that you kill them? Because you can actually kill them. Or you pursue them until they go. But some of us are so docile in the spirit that we allow all kinds of thoughts. And I think the issue is that we've not been taught how to fight. Rather, what we've been taught is how to cast out demons. And we do cast out demons. What we've been taught is how to fight one another. But we've not been taught how to fight in the realm of thoughts, where the battle is actually raging. And I want to say that place is where we need to fight. We need to be taught how to fight and win. Every battle has to be won in the realm of thoughts. Every battle has to be won in the realm of thoughts. Now, why you need to fight and win in the realm of the mind? The mind is the realm of thoughts, battle, raging in the realm of the mind is whatever your mind takes as a thought and stays with it for a while, and it enters your heart. Finish it in the realm of the mind. Don't let it enter your heart. Once it enters your heart, it becomes you. As a man thinketh in his heart, it is as a man thinketh in his mind. When it's in the mind, you're warring with it. You're worrying with it. There is where you're supposed to deal with it and finish it. Don't let it enter your heart. When it enters your heart, it now becomes as a man thinketh in his heart. So is he. So you think and you meditate in your heart. Meditation is actually heart attitude. But what you meditate is what has already entered. But with the mind, you first of all fetch it with the mind. You fetch it with the mind. So the mind is like the mouth that takes the thoughts. So you must be careful what you take. But when you take it and you take the wrong thing and it goes into your heart, it becomes yours. And that's eventually what will become way. That's what he means by, as a man thinketh in his heart, so he is. It will read another way, if to paraphrase it, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is his way. Your way is what you are. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is his way. So is his way. The way he's thinking in his heart, that's how his way is. That's what makes him up. Praise God. So when thoughts enter our heart, it becomes a seed. Listen to me, I'm saying it again. When thoughts enters our heart, it has stayed long enough in our mind and we did not deal with it. We didn't discern it and deal with it, and it enters our heart. It becomes a seed. And when it stays in the heart and is meditated upon, it will break forth as a tree. Remember Psalm 1? He said, it shall be like a tree. So righteousness can be a stronghold in my heart. If I meditate on the things that are good, like Philippians was talking about, righteousness can be a tree. A tree of righteousness, supposed to grow out from my heart, bringing forth fruit. I remember that scripture, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God, to the pulling down of stronghold and casting down imaginations. Now these are thoughts. Casting down imagination, every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. I'm bringing into captivity every thought. So they are thoughts. You need to bring them into captivity to obey Christ. Every thought must be judged with Christ. Every thought that does not obey Christ should be pushed out of our mind. You must grow to the point where you can discern thoughts. When they come, you can discern them. You don't just take any thought. Any thought that is not subject to Christ, don't take it. Any thought that will not obey Christ is a carnal thought, because it's not subject to the law of God. Neither can it be. And if you take it, after a while, it will become your way. You will not be subject to the law of God. Neither can you be, because of what you have already in your heart. It can become a stronghold. Strongholds are imagination. When he enters the heart, you now hear the imagination of the thoughts of their heart was evil continually. The imagination of the thoughts of their heart. Every imagination of the thoughts of their heart was only evil continually. Something was there. Something has entered into that heart. It wasn't just the mind functioning now, it's now the heart. And anything that is in the heart has become you. Amen. Now, I used to say this. It's better for the battle. You know, we are having war going on in the world today. Ukraine and Russia are fighting. But, you know, the way you count losses in war, you need to understand it. It's better the battle is fought at your borders than in your land. You can fight in the borders. When we fight at the borders is our mind. That's the border. That's where the border is, in our mind. Fight it there. Finish it there. Because by the time they come into your land, your heart, like they are doing in Ukraine, they are destroying things, destroying infrastructures, destroying things that we already built there are being destroyed. But if it was stopped at the border, Ukraine would have still been the way it was. The battle would have been fought at the border. We finish it at the border. That is why the battle, you must keep it at the mind, at the realm of the mind. Finish it there. Don't allow it enter your heart. When it enters your heart, you will be defiled. A whole lot of things will go wrong. Things that enter the heart, it is difficult to remove them. When things enter your heart, it is difficult to remove them. Don't let them enter your heart. Finish it. Let it be dealt with at the point of the mind. Praise God. Amen. You understand it? Don't let it, because it's going to cause devastation. If it comes into your heart, it will cause a lot of devastation. Now, one of the reasons I say we have to learn to fight the warfare of the mind, you know, thoughts that comes into our mind, is that I want to say this. You can't be a truly successful Christian if you've not mastered how to war in that realm of thoughts. Spirits will take advantage of you very easily. I don't think there's any other battleground. That is, there might be other battlegrounds, but the battleground of the mind is terrible. And Satan puts all his arsenals there. Because he knows that anybody he captures, you know, he says somebody is brainwashed or somebody had been hoodwinked. It's just, or even when you say witchcraft, it's just manipulation. Where did you take the person? The mind. It just took the mind of the person. It just make him think in a particular way. And then the person willingly follows you. The person will just do your bidding. The person becomes subservient to you. Why? Where did you capture him? He's just in the realm of the mind. You just gave him thoughts. He becomes a mental slave to you. We have to be taught how to actually win there. That is, you can't be a successful Christian if you have not mastered the realm of thoughts. I hear a lot of spiritual warfare, spiritual warfare, spiritual warfare. This is actually where it is. Now, one thing that the scripture says we should do is put on the helmet of salvation. Helmet is put on your mind. Your mind, that is your head. Helmet. Put on the helmet of salvation. We have to put on a helmet of salvation. Helmet of salvation. Helmet of salvation. Meaning our thoughts has to be thought of salvation. We have to take thoughts of salvation. Another place he said, wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind. Gird it up. Don't let your mind be porous. Gird up the loins of your mind. Don't allow your mind to just think anything. Loins is like, you know, your belt. They say, gird up the loins of your mind. Now, in that book of Ephesians chapter 6, it talked about the belt of truth, where it talked about the helmet of salvation. It said, wear the belt of truth, meaning your belt should be truth. The truth that is in God's word. The truth, I want to call it the truth of God's word, is what we are supposed to use to gird up the loins of our mind. 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 13, it said, wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober and hope to the end. Now, why? Because, you see, one thing about this thought realm is that as you grow, you meet stiffer oppositions in the realm of thoughts. But, you know, it's a necessary exercise that we must engage ourselves in. That's also how we grow. As we grow, we gain strength. As we fight, we gain skill. As we grow, we gain strength. As we fight, we gain skill. In a nutshell, I'm saying that believers have to be taught how to war in the realm of thoughts. We have to be taught how to win in the realm of thoughts. Now, let me say this so that you can understand me. It's not every thought that comes into your mind that is your thought. In fact, thoughts that are in your mind are not yet yours. It's thoughts that are in your heart that can be termed yours. And when they're in your heart, they fashion you. But when they are in your mind, they are not yet yours. They are not yet yours. It's important you understand that. So you can just find, I need to say that. You can find thoughts, sometimes you find thoughts that are unclean. Just breeze through your mind. Now, one of the things Satan uses that to do most of the time is to get you discouraged with this war. Make you feel you can never win this war. Now, let me also say this. Any thought that constantly breezes through your mind, one, is that you're weak and susceptible to it. You must understand it. You can be weak and susceptible to a thought. Thoughts will first of all weaken the loins of your mind before they enter your heart. Now, when you're weak and susceptible to a thought, you need counseling. You need prayers. You need to, when I say counseling, you need to talk to someone who is more spiritual than you, who will help you. You need to talk to someone who is more experienced than you in this warfare to help you. Meaning you need to talk to a matured believer. Now, thoughts, all the thoughts are not yours. Thoughts that just come into your mind, they are not yours. Another way you can come across thoughts is that you can thoughts are in places. There are people you flock with, you start, because thoughts are like atmosphere people carry. Thoughts are like atmosphere people carry. If you are around people who thoughts are defiled, if you are around them for a while, those thoughts, because they are like wavelengths, they begin to hit your mind. You know you don't think this way before. Why am I thinking like this? Just check the environment where you are. Maybe that environment has that kind of thoughts, unclean thoughts. You need to move away from there. You need to just move away from there. Or stay away from such people that, you know, dwell, I call it region of darkness. In Luke, he said, those who dwell in darkness are seeing great light. Those who dwell in the shadow of death, great light has shined. So there are shadow of death. There are regions of darkness that people carry. And what the atmosphere you carry is actually where you dwell. So when you meet people, and now let me say this. Those atmosphere, when something becomes an atmosphere, is in the heart, is what is caked in the heart that projects to become your atmosphere. So what is in the heart already becomes an atmosphere. And then you, who it's not your atmosphere, you come around it, you also pick those things in the person's atmosphere. Now, you need to discern to know, this is not my thought. I don't think like this ordinarily. Then I need to move away from there. Or I need to cut that relationship. I've had instances of that growing up spiritually as a believer. I remember one time I was in, you know, I don't think I should mention it fully. But there was so-called brother, you know, but the guy has things. And he looks so quiet, so gentle, you know. His face, you know, those kind of guys you call baby face assassin. When you look at their face is innocent. But things were there. I was looking at his face as a brother, but the Holy Ghost was warning me. There was a restraint in my heart, cut off from this guy. Don't go close to him. We are not close in the first place, but we are just getting to know each other. And then there was that restraint. I obeyed the Holy Ghost, and I cut off from him completely. Months down the line, he was involved in something very terrible. And it was said that this is not the first time, this is not the second time, it's habitual. But you see, because he has become something in the heart, he does it, he's away. That's who he is. He does it. Now, if I had stayed around him, I would have also picked those thoughts. And then, I was still much younger in the faith. I didn't have the skill to fight that kind of warfare. It's not every warfare you should fight. There are some warfares that are not yours. Just run away. Get away from there. Leave that person. Leave that relationship. You're not strong enough to handle it. If I had stayed, I would have picked that thought and I would be thinking it, and eventually it will enter my heart, become a seed, become a stronghold. That's the problem. So thoughts, we must be taught how to fight this realm of thoughts. Like I said, it's not every thought that is yours. I remember when I traveled to Poland, one of the challenges they have is that, first of all, they don't believe, I mentioned thoughts, you coming into, I mean thoughts just flying, then thoughts, you know, coming, you are perceiving or picking thoughts as a result of atmosphere, you know. Those thoughts are not your thoughts. That's what I'm trying to make you see. Now, one of the problems that I found they have is that spirits take advantage of them very easily in the realm of thoughts. Now, all of the brethren that go there, the first thing you will notice are not only there, majorly, I don't know, God has blessed us in Nigeria. Somehow there is just this atmosphere. I'm not saying that everywhere, the community of saints in Nigeria, there's just something that still, there's a whole lot that is working for us we don't understand. There's a whole lot that is working for us as we don't, but we don't understand. But when you step out there, you come into a realm of unfettered thoughts. So one of the thoughts that disturbs them, first of all, they don't believe that thoughts are projected by spirits. They don't believe it. They think, this is me. It's me. This is just my mood. It comes every time of the year around this season. I just think like this. I just behave like this. They accept it. They take it that is theirs. And, you know, I had hard time trying to make them see that those thoughts are not, first of all, thoughts are projected by spirits. Unclean thoughts are projected by unclean spirits. They are like darts. You know, the way you fire darts and it lands in your mind, you're supposed to pull it off. I've never seen anybody who, maybe you're in the warfare and they fought it, the arrow hits you and then you leave it, you break it, you pull it out, break it, you know, you bleed for a while, but after a while you're healed, except it falls on a very, very, very dangerous place. But that can kill. But you must be skillful in dodging that. But they say, no, this is just me. It's me, it's my, that's how I think. That's how my grandfather used to think. That's how my father used to think. That's how I think also. That's how all of us think. So it was difficult. First of all, they don't understand the realm. It is difficult to understand. Now, that's one of the things with when your mind is developed. Let me say developed mind. It's not actually developed. It's falling. When your mind is only intellectual based, all that you do with your mind is to intellectualize everything that comes. Give reason to it. You'll be susceptible to spirits very easily. Man is not an intellectual being, first of all. Man is a spirit being. You begin your activities from the spirit. Man is a spirit being. He has a soul. The intellectual aspect of the soul is just a portion of the soul. It's not even the half. It's not even the one third. It's just, if at all I'm to put it, it's just like the one seventh of the soul. But man thinks everything about the soul is intellectual. Your soul is spiritual also. Your soul can be spiritual. Your soul can be carnal. Your soul can be many things. So like I said, I had problem trying to convince them to know that thoughts are projections from evil spirits. Thoughts. So there was a lady I was meant to pray for, but eventually I couldn't because of time. The father came to the camp, that was the winter camp meeting, and the girl was into deep depression. She sees things, she draws them. She suddenly became very artistic and will draw out some terrible skeletal looking creatures, bad things, you know. Those kind of things, those are the things the lady was drawing. She was in a mental institution by then. I was supposed to go there to pray for her, but we couldn't make out time to get an appointment to pray for her. But I prayed for her. But when they showed me what she drew, I knew spirits were dealing with her. Those things she was drawing, they are thoughts. It wasn't any, they didn't see it anywhere. It wasn't landscape drawing or drawing. It was things she was seeing with her mind. She would draw it. Terrible looking things, ugly looking things. What he was basically drawing was the spirits he was seeing. So I began to talk to them in that particular meeting. I told them, I said, the thoughts you think are yours are not really yours. It's fallen spirits. I've given that example. For instance, you know, a spirit comes beside you and you've probably gone through some things, and then, you know, the spirit says, maybe you're having some symptoms. Let me use that word. You're having some symptoms in your body. Then the spirit that is in charge of that thing, that is projecting that thought, I am sick. The spirit says, I am sick. It's a projection of thoughts. And you also repeat with your mouth, I am sick. You've just bought into that thought. And then you say it again, I am sick. He said, I am sick. You say, I am sick. I am sick. I am sick. Eventually, what you're saying, you begin to see it. Initially, it was just a feeling, a symptom. It was not sickness, really. But thoughts can buy it. So you buy things with your thoughts. But you can say, I am not sick. And the thing is, but you're feeling, I am not sick. I refuse to be sick. Yeah, you have the right to do that. I am not sick. Because it is written, this is God's thoughts. Take God's thoughts. Because it is written, that was what Jesus used. So your own shouldn't be different. Because it's written, he will bless my bread and my water and take sickness away from the midst of me, and the number of my years he will fulfill. He is the God that healeth me. Those are thoughts. You use thoughts to fight thoughts. You use the truth of God's word. Thoughts that are here is what you use to fight thoughts. Don't take every thought. Maybe you're sitting and then maybe you've just gone through some things, some disappointments. Of course, disappointment happens to everybody. Things may not go the way you want it all the time, but that's not the reason to be discouraged. And then you now sit down, why is my own thing like this? A spirit just stood around you and said, why is my own things like this? You say, why is my own things like this? You say, why is my own things like this? Why is my own things like this? Now what you're doing is that you're using your mouth to culture. Eventually, it registers in your heart that whenever it gets to my own tongue, some people believe it, whenever it gets to my own tongue, things will spoil. No, you are the one doing it. You bought into that thought. Whenever it gets to my own tongue, it will work for others, but whenever it gets to my own tongue, you see, whenever it gets to my own tongue, things will spoil. It's a spirit. You've just taken that thought. I'm just giving you an example. Maybe you face some disappointment or face some, you know, abuse in life. That's how, when you hear people commit suicide, it starts. A spirit will just hang around you. I'm tired of life. You think it's your thought. It's a spirit. It's a suicidal spirit. I'm tired of this life. I feel like dying. I'm tired of life. The spirit just keeps saying, I'm tired of life. And you, not being wise. That's why he said, whatsoever thing is pure, whatsoever thing is true, whatsoever thing is honest, whatsoever thing is true is God's word. Don't think on anything that is not God's word. Well, don't just hear, I'm tired of this life. Then you now echo, I'm tired of this life. Then that spirit will say, just hanging by your shoulder, I'm tired of this life. You say, I'm tired of this life. I'm tired of this life. You're just repeating. After a while, that thought will enter your heart. The next thing is kill yourself. End it, John. There's no reason being here. Just end it. End it. End it. The person goes to, you know, attempt suicide. That spirit will keep following, but you can stand in the name of Jesus. With long life will he satisfy me and show me his salvation. I've not yet seen salvation. I'm going to be here. No matter the amount of disappointment, with long life will he satisfy me and show me his salvation. In the midst of my disappointment, all things worketh together for good to them that are called by God, to them that love God and are called according to his purpose. Use God's word. God's word are God's thoughts. Use it against the thoughts of the enemy. Don't take every thought. Even thoughts of offense. That's also his spirit. Thoughts of offense is spirit. Spirits will just hang around you and make you think wrongly concerning your brother. And he said that. Now, we will say things because, you see, love believeth all things. That's why your heart needs to be cushioned by love. Love makes excuses. You know, somebody can say something out of care for you, out of concern for you, and you can read it wrongly. There are people like that. Their mind are twisted. They've used their mind over time, especially when you're coming from a family that is... I discovered that so much with people from polygamous family. They suspect everybody. It's something they've gone through a whole lot, and so their mind had become twisted. So they still carry that mind to church. You know, when you give your life to Christ, it's only your spirit that is regenerated. All the gbogbero, all the nyama nyama that is in your soul, you come with it to church, and pastor begins to work, labor, cleansing. And the way is, come, let us reason together. And some will not want to reason. So you just find that spirit hanging around you. And he said that. You don't see what... Didn't you understand what he said? Don't you understand what he just said now? Ordinarily, you didn't read anything to it. And then maybe the person has even said it, and you didn't... It didn't occur to you what he said. May it never occur to you. Wrong things not occur to you. Person said it. At that time when the person said it, it didn't occur. I mean, nothing wrong about it came into your mind. But maybe you just enter, you know, maybe you get home and enter your room. Those spirits are bad. They follow you everywhere. They follow you everywhere. You just enter your room. And then he will just pram, like moving. Taram. The thought just, it will flash that thought to you. He said this. What does he actually mean? Maybe you've heard somebody who says something concerning that person. That's how this person is. You see, that was what this person was telling me. Thought starts. You can meditate on that thing for the whole evening, the whole night. That spirit. Now, let me say this to you. I'm not just talking. I'm a spiritual man. I understand a little bit about this. Now, when spirits want to hang around you, they bring their thoughts. As long as you're thinking their thoughts, they will just be walking around you. You're having fellowship with one another. Angels also bring thoughts of God. Yeah, they do. They bring thoughts of God. You want to have them around you, think the thoughts of God. Think the thoughts of God. They will just hang around you. Because your air is bright. Your air is not fouled. They will hang around you long enough, helping you. And they want you to think good thoughts. Finally, I said, thoughts are your responsibility. You know, thoughts, we must, it's not something, somebody is asking, because I perceive somebody is asking, we will get to a point where we will not fight the warfare of thoughts. Well, my answer is this. We will fight the warfare of thought until we lay hold on eternal life. We'll keep fighting the warfare of thought until we lay hold on eternal life. Our Lord Jesus Christ fought the warfare of thought till the cross. It was in the cross he finished it. So until you lay hold on eternal life, you'll keep fighting. And different thoughts. There are thoughts that can't come to you at the level you are. Because some things have not yet arisen around you. Some privileges have not yet come. Like I said, you don't know the amount of this world that is in you until you come into a position of privilege. Then you now see. So when you come into certain situations, some spirits, fallen spirit, wants to use that situation to gender some thoughts, plant some seeds in your heart. So we'll keep fighting and keep fighting. Believers need to learn how to fight the warfare of thoughts and how to win it. My prayer for you today, we'll talk about it more. I've not finished. We'll talk about it more next week. My prayer for you is that the Lord will strengthen you and cause you to gut up the loins of your mind so that you can hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought to you in the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you. Thank you for today. Thank you for helping us. Thank you for blessing us. Thank you. Thank you. Give us strength. Strengthen us in our mind, in our hearts. Strengthen us to fight, to stand. Stand. You commanded us in Ephesians chapter 6, saying, finally, my brethren, even as you're saying to us also in Philippians chapter 4, verse 8, finally, brethren, Lord, I pray that you will strengthen us to finally stand for this battle and win it successfully in the name of Jesus. Thank you, our Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Like I said, next week I'm going to dwell on this a little bit more so that we can, you know, see what the Lord is telling us and how we can. The warfare of the mind can be won. It can be won. You can gain skill. You can gain mastery. You can live above certain thoughts. But there are thoughts you will still meet. But you see, when a man is skillful in fight, when you've been trained, you're skillful in fight. The Bible says, "He teacheth my hands to war and my fingers to battle." When you're skillful, you will be able to handle warfare at every dimension until you come to the place where you lay hold on eternal life. God bless you today. Shalom. See you next time. And peace to life. Amen.
By the new and living way.
We trust you have been blessed by this message. For more inquiries, please visit www.nlwc.church or call 0909-054-2599. You can also contact us by WhatsApp on 0803-688-4759. God bless you.
Oh, by the new and living way, consecrated Father.